So welcome to our instruction period together. I'll just wait a moment for people to be seated. So today we come to the second foundation of mindfulness. Much of our practice yesterday was based on feeling the breath in the body and all that accompanies that. And today we come to what's called in Pali mindfulness of Vedana. Now, Vedana is the feeling tone of every contact through the sense doors. So we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think. And very quickly upon the contact, we experience the feeling tone. We see, and it takes some practice, that the feeling tone is pleasant or unpleasant or somewhere in between the two. And of course, if the feeling tone is pleasant, we rather often attach to that. We like it, we want it, and so then desire arises and we become caught in this unfolding cycle of becoming this or becoming that. So we need to see through our direct experience what's actually occurring as we know and experience all that comes to us. In this section, there's a number of different instructions. This is from the Anapanasati Sutta, which is the sutta on mindfulness with breathing or mindfulness of breathing. And the first instruction, and we're simply going to go through, there's four couplets. The first instruction is breathing in, experiencing joy. Now, the reason for this is that joy is a factor of awakening. Joy is to be cultivated in order to awaken. In fact, when the Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree, or when Gautama Siddhartha sat under the Bodhi tree on the night of his awakening in Bodh Gaya, the story goes that he had a recollection. He had a memory of being under a rose apple tree when he was a child. And under the rose apple tree, he was watching his father, apparently in a field, and he experienced extraordinary joy. And that joy was completely unproblematic. It was not related to the wanting mind or to desire in a problematic way. It was simply joy. And when he remembered this, he thought to himself, oh, perhaps this is the way to awakening. And so it's a very important condition for waking up. And so that's why there's so much emphasis put on it. It's a factor of awakening. It's also experienced, of course, when we enter the deep states of meditation, the absorptions. As you sit and your attention becomes more refined and there's a more sensitivity and receptivity, what you'll experience is that just with breathing in, there can be very pleasant, blissful sensations. And the same, of course, with breathing out. The Pali for that in this direction is pitti, P-I-T-I. And it's a kind of excitable joy, if you like. Joy of course, has different qualities and levels, and we'll come to a rather more quiet kind of joy in a moment. But first of all, I just want us to do the direction, follow the direction, and simply see what happens. So in this way, we set an intention, and the intention is, I shall breathe in, experiencing joy. I shall breathe out, experiencing joy. And the word experiencing here means to be very intimate with, to really move towards. So we're really seeing as we breathe, we're seeing if we can just move towards experiencing joy. Let's try it. And some of you might be thinking, well, I don't feel joy right now and I don't want to. That's very typical. So I would just ask you to put your resistance aside for a moment and just see what is possible. Let's do it. Just for 3 minutes. Everybody can do that. So breathing in, experiencing joy, breathing out, experiencing joy. Did anybody have a direct experience of joy? Yes, please tell me about it. What occurred? It opened on command. Yes, so the body moved a little from side to side. And she began smiling. Okay, so right there, in that experience, is there any difficulty anywhere? No. Right there, suffering ceases. So even for a few moments, the mind is free. The problematic has ended. So we need to see this. And how easy it is actually, very often, to loosen the grip of the mind. And the joy, of course, nourishes us. It replenishes the whole being. So it's very important. Yes, anyone else here? Laughter. Yes. Yes, a burst. It's okay to laugh in the meditation hall. It really is. Just as it's okay to weep and cry, you can also laugh. Okay, so laughter came. And so what was the feeling? If you were to describe the feeling of that laughter. A release, yeah. Uprising, he says. Okay. What happens to the self when you laugh? Yes. Self falls away, you see. The self, the I thought, is not at the forefront of consciousness. It dissolves with the laughter. It's such an easy way to bring release, just as you said. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. Bubbling. Yes. Bubbling sensations all over the body. Now, sometimes these sensations just begin with some tickling or tingling somewhere in the body, and then it can intensify and fill the entire body, and it can become quite enticing. That's the caution here. We need to be steady with whatever happens. So the way to enter the deep states of meditation or to enter the absorptions is to be equanimous, to have equanimity. So not rush after the lovely, beautiful feeling. But it bubbles up and it can be blissful, extraordinary, beautiful. Anything more to add? No. Exactly. There's several people want to speak at once. Okay. Yes. Yes. Ah. Yes. Yes. So there's gratitude for simply having the possibility of breathing. Beautiful. And gratitude and appreciation, or I'm getting tingles all over my body as I say it. Gratitude and appreciation are very close to joy. Lovely. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay, so she thought she needed something to feel the joy, so she focused on my smile to see if she could feel it inside. And you thought you could, but then you began to weep. Yes. Okay, so a feeling of space. Now, are the tears tears of sadness or tears of relief, or what are the tears? Ah, okay. Okay, so the tears came, and sometimes the tears are just tears of release or tears of relief or an expression of your heart coming out of your eyes in the form of water, is what one of my teachers would say. So it's a response of the body. Precious, beautiful. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 Okay, so this is, in English we call it, it's poignant. It's joyous, but also on that edge of sadness. And of course, you've been having the feelings of bliss, and then this moves the heart to compassion, wanting others to be released, wanting others to be happy, wanting others to be free, and so on. And so, of course, our heart has the capacity to contain both. They're the dualities, the joy and the sadness, the joy and the grief. And so we're not trying to regulate or impose something on the heart. If we start with joy and then it shifts and moves to compassion for the whole world, then we just go with that, please. Was there somebody else here? Yes. Oh, equanimity. It means, it's the Pali is upekkha, and it means to be steady with all things is one translation, but it's to stand amid all things in a way that's unwavering, where we're not, where consciousness is not easily thrown about, where we're not thrown off balance. Another way of saying it is composure or equipoise. So it's, we might need some Hebrew translations. What's the Hebrew word for equanimity? Okay, thank you. Yes. Wonder. Yes. Okay. Yes. So a memory from the past can come, and then there's wonder. Oh, we'll take that. Wonder and awe, fine. So, of course, the heart can be right there. The memory comes and we go, oh, there's wonder, there's awe, there's those precious moments that we can have. All right. Let's go on now to the next instruction. I know we're doing them rather quickly, but it's just to give you a taste of what's possible. Retreats that focus on the Anapanasati Sutta are generally done in Thailand during the rains season, so they're 3 months long. But since we don't have that amount of time, we're just sampling, if you like, in order to know, so that you know what's on offer and what's possible to practice and how you can practice in all these different ways. So the next instruction is, I shall breathe in, experiencing happiness or contentment. The Pali word is sukha, and it's a more refined, quiet kind of joy or happiness. I like the word contentment in English. And so again, it's about feeling the feeling in the feeling, about knowing or experiencing what's happening for us. So let's do it. Breathing in, experiencing contentment, breathing out, experiencing contentment. So what did you discover? Did anybody have a direct experience of sukha or contentment, happiness? Yes, there's a few. Yes. 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 Everything is okay. Even though yesterday things felt different. The lightness in the chest. What else? Yes. Yes. Ah, surprise that in 3 minutes everything can feel okay. So you see, when we practice like this, we set the intention, and then with receptivity and tenderness and kindness, we really feel intimate with what's going on, and suddenly there's the smile, the lightness in the heart. And the problematic ceases. When there's contentment, there's also the absence of the difficulty. And the teachings are a training of the heart-mind to the unproblematic, the absence of any suffering. It's a training of the heart-mind to peace, to freedom, to joy, to happiness. Great, thank you. Yes, there was somebody else here. Yes. At the beginning it felt absurd, which made him happy. Yes, a quivering. Yes. Yes. So a release of electricity all over the body and a sense of relief or release? Both? Okay. Okay, so right there, contentment starts to flood through the body. Beautiful. So when this happens, we just stay rather steady with it, and we notice all the unfolding sensations in the body. We're very intimate with our experience, the knowing of what's happening, of the experience itself. This is what's meant by the direction that the Buddha gives for this particular foundation of mindfulness, of feeling, we feel the feeling in the feeling. It's a very strange expression, but it's to be so close and intimate with the knowing of what's going on for ourselves. So we really know, a deep knowing. Beautiful. Yes. Yes. The first breath, she said, she felt everything that was problematic. Second breath, none of it is a problem. Yeah? Yes. Ah, and then arose contentment with what is. Yes. Okay, so again, the contentment, it's not a great rush of effusive happiness, but it's everything is okay. Wow, wouldn't this be good? I wish every single person this experience that we can know and come to where we feel that things are okay. We have a rest from being caught up in the events of life so that we can rejuvenate ourselves. so there can be rejuvenation inwardly. And then we can approach life and meet life and act in the world with wisdom, not with reactivity, but with a heart that's full and centered and steady. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. Okay. So much easier than joy. You see how the self compares. We compare one experience with the next. Just automatic. Yes, go on. Yes. 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 Yes, just content. So sometimes in the instructions, there's one word that really suits us, and there might be another word that we just resist. And not wanting to feel joy is so common. I have to say, I'm sorry, it's so common here in Israel. It's the resistance to the joy. I once had someone at the back of the hall shouting at me that there is no joy in life. But we sometimes resist. Yet you found a way, and suddenly there's this the beauty of contentment. So when you felt that feeling of contentment, what else did you experience? There's contentment. How would you describe it? She said softness, as if she were to float, and at ease. This is very important because joy and ease are two of the factors of awakening, two of the seven. So that's why we need to give it attention. And with the contentment comes the ease or the tranquility, the peace. Yes. 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 So, of course, then what happens, the I thought comes and says, I want that, I want it to stay. And then you said a little bit of doubt. Explain the doubt. What was the doubt? Yes, the feelings are impermanent, aren't they? So they do begin and end. Yet, there can also be a knowing, a deep, profound knowing of peace, of contentment, that's utterly unwavering. Okay, so we know that the direct experience of pleasantness and contentment is impermanent. It's not self. It arises and it ceases. Yet if we really look deeply, we also experience something else. So, for you, is there any sense of that knowing which is born of wisdom? Because although the experience begins and ends, the wisdom from it doesn't. So the wisdom tells you about the experience that you can access contentment. So what the experience is telling you, and all of these experiences around the room, what the experience is telling you is that you can access joy, contentment, feeling okay, ease. And that is something that we can each know, and we can just come to it, and we can come to it anytime. It's accessible. That's what the experiences are telling us. But sometimes we have the view already that I can't know, I can't understand, or I won't understand. This is the doubt. This is the voice of doubt. Freedom's for other people, not for me. Or she or he might know it, but not me. And so on. We have the view, I'm not free. And so that prevents us. This is how the doubt manifests. And one of the doubts, one of the antidotes to doubt, of course, is our direct experience and attention to direct experience. And then, of course, the doubt ends because you're right there with your precious experience. She's nodding. Yes, you got it. Yes, you understand. And then we can know a contentment that has no beginning and end. And this is the joy and the contentment that is not dependent upon any condition. The teachings point to the knowing of conditioned phenomena, and that conditioned phenomena arise and cease. They're impermanent, they're not self, and they're unsatisfactory. That is the way all conditioned things exist. Yet we have this other capacity as a human being, and the teachings point to the direct experience of the unconditioned, that which isn't bound to the conditions. And joy and contentment can be known and experienced and felt, that, and it isn't bound anywhere. It's not caught up anywhere. It's not caught up in self. And we know this, and we can access it most immediately when our sense of I, me, and my, the self, the ego, just drops away. And then we have this taste of the laughter and the joy that we've been hearing around the room. And right there is the knowing of the ease and freedom of the heart mind. So we have to really see what's happening in consciousness, what it is to be alive, how we can meet life, how suffering ends. Enough from me. So let's go on to the next instruction. The next instruction is about experiencing the mental formation. Now, a mental formation is a thought, an idea, a view, an opinion, comes as a memory, or it can be a projection. Every thought is accompanied rather quickly by the feeling tone. And the feeling tone is pleasant, unpleasant, or in between. We tend to want the pleasant, push away the unpleasant, and ignore the in-between, or be bored, for example. Ignore the in-between feeling tone. Or not know, or not be clear. Now, it took me ages to understand that every thought came with a feeling tone, pleasant, unpleasant, or in between. So in this exercise, what we're doing is we're experiencing the thought world and just checking out what the feeling tone is. It's just a way of being with our thoughts, recognizing what's going on in consciousness. So let's do it. I shall breathe in, experiencing the mental formation. I shall breathe out, experiencing the mental formation. So what's the feeling tone of your thoughts? And I'm assuming that most people had some. Pleasant, unpleasant, or in between? Anyone like to report? Just so we get the idea. Yes. All of them were what? Bouncing between pleasant and unpleasant, and some in between. Okay. The whole array of the thought world appeared here. But you could see it. You were aware. What happened then? Were you clinging to? Yes. What were you clinging to? Oh, she saw that she was clinging to the pleasant. And then what unfolded? Yes. And so, of course, if the thought was unpleasant, she immediately felt that pushing away. Now, this experience is really critical because there's contact, the feeling tone of experience. Dependent upon that arises desire, which comes, of course, with clinging. So this cycle unfolds for all of us. It's a mechanism of mind. The Buddha's teaching is if we can be rather steady at any point in this unfolding process, but particularly with the feeling tone of experience, we're then not bound anywhere. So if we can be steady, we see the pleasant, we see the unpleasant, we see the in-between. But if we can be really steady right there, consciousness is free. So consciousness is colored by the clinging to the greed, the hatred, the delusion, and so on. Consciousness is colored by our desires. It's colored by our wanting mind. And if we're just going along with that, we're caught up and we're not free. And one of the great places to practice steadiness so that the mind can be free and therefore we can act with wisdom is with the feeling tone of experience. So just notice for yourself today this cycle of, oh, my mind is grasping to that. I want it. I don't want it. Just see for yourself the feeling tone of experience and the immediacy that comes with the wanting mind and any kind of clinging. And then what we do, of course, is we just soften and loosen the grip of the mind. And we go, oh, yes, I see what's happening here. So we rest more in the awareness rather than what is being revealed. So awareness reveals what's going on. It reveals our feelings, our thoughts, our desires, our wants, our likes, our dislikes, our aversions. The more we can take the attention from the objects that are being revealed and just rest into awareness itself, the less caught up we are. Thank you. Thank you for describing that. That's excellent. One more. Yes. Ah, yes, yes. Ah, of course, the I thought comes in and says, I don't want to think. We're already caught, aren't we? Meditation isn't about the absence of thinking. It's got a bit of bad press like that, but thoughts begin and end. Thoughts are empty of any substantial reality. Your thoughts are invisible. They have no form, no shape, no color. They arise, they cease. So our task is to see and be, oh, I know that. Oh, there's that again. There's that thought again. Ah, there's my doubt again. Oh, there's my irritation again. So it's to see the emptiness of the thought and not be too caught in not wanting them. And as soon as we see the emptiness of the thought, you see, we begin to see a tiny bit of spaciousness between each thought, even. You've had that experience? Not now, but you know it. So sometimes, of course, the thoughts subside. We don't think all the time. So we have to notice when there's no problem with thoughts. And one way to step out of that problematic cycle is really just to let the thoughts be. It doesn't matter. You're sitting here. It doesn't matter if you have hundreds of thoughts. What we do is we condemn ourselves for having the thought, and that becomes the problem. The condemnation, the judgment, the self-judgment. Oh, I should not be thinking. Rather, it's to be rather free with the thoughts, to see their impermanent nature, to understand the thinking world. And thoughts come, thoughts go. Some of them are significant. Most of them are not. Let's go on while we have a little time left to the fourth instruction. And it's very similar. So it is breathing in, calming or tranquilizing, calming the thoughts, the mental formations. Breathing out, calming the mental formations. So we're using the breath to calm the mind, which is the next step. The very next step. We set the intention, breathing in, calming the mind, and the out breath is a really wonderful release, and we can calm both the body and the mind with it. Breathing in, calming the mental formations. Breathing out, calming the mental formations. there any sense of calm anywhere? Anybody experience calmness? Yes. She said she was surprised by the great turbulence that she felt in the last one. Mm-hmm. Okay, she felt as if she'd been, I'll just say it for those at the back, she felt as if she'd been running a marathon or carrying heavy shopping bags. Yes. Ah. Yes. Beautiful. So she said, now there's calmness like the breeze or the wind blowing through. So the feeling tone is calming right down. Beautiful. Yes. So there's the dissolution of any kind of intensity or anything that's problematic. Yay. So you see, in just a few minutes, sometimes we can do something and feel disturbed. And then rather quickly, 3 minutes later, with attention, which is the key ingredient, receptive attention, with attention, the whole body and mind can calm and there's release. This is very important to know. Anyone else experience calm? Yes. 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 Take. Yes. Yes. So airing it out, feeling spacious, taking oneself rather lightly, having a sense of humor about the I thought and the self and the me. Why not? It helps. It helps not to take ourselves too seriously, but to say, oh, there I go again. Beautiful. So there was this, the dissolving of self, the deconstruction of the self-thought. Beautiful. There was someone at the back. Yes. Okay. So she said she experienced a drifting out, a lethargy, losing one's focus. Sometimes with the drifting out, we can lose a narrow focus, but we can have a rather spacious, open sense of samadhi, sense of focus. So our focus can be one-pointed and narrow, or it can be wide and broad. So when it's wide and broad, it's like the surface of a lake. And if we can just stay with that feeling rather than get caught up in, oh, I'm feeling a bit lost here, we can just stay with the opening out of consciousness, the expansion. There's a beautiful unfolding can occur. So trust that experience, that widening, that spaciousness. The lethargy or the tiredness or the lack of focus can shift in a second. You all know that. Sometimes we're feeling so tired, something happens, and we're not tired one bit. So the lethargy and the tiredness is impermanent. It can end in a second. We give it continuity through time with the I thought. We give it a continuity it doesn't have. Yes. It's not denying, yeah. When we have a specific intention and meditation instruction, one of the thoughts that resists the instruction is, oh, I'm therefore denying all the rest of my feeling world. I tend to trust the Buddha's directions and think, oh, if that was said in the suttas over and over again, maybe I'm going to give it a try and check it out for myself. Okay? Because we tend to feel rather greedy sometimes about experiences. We can't have them all, but there's certain experiences which are conditions for awakening. They're the ones we need. So that brings me to the end of the instruction period today. I thank you for your input. We all learn from one another. So thank you very much for your attention for the whole hour. Now there's walking meditation and there's also meetings with the three of us. So please remember to check the board. You will be, your name will appear there. If not today, then tomorrow or the next day, we will see each of you. And then after that, there'll be some options also for some more one-to-ones. Take care. Enjoy the day. You can take up one of these instructions if you wish. You can do simple mindfulness of breathing if you want, how you've all been taught in the past, or you can take up the practice of joy or the practice of contentment. But just turn your mind a little bit to noticing the Vedana, the quality of all the contact through the sense doors, so that you understand what's being said. And if you do take up the practice of joy or contentment, don't just do it for 2 seconds and go back to this and think, oh no, that one didn't work, I'll do the other one. Oh no, oh maybe I'll do some other practice altogether, and we just get in confusion. So if you start, you need to be patient and allow the practice to unfold. Thank you, everybody.